You're tuned to KCBX Central Coast Public Radio here on NPR One. With KCBX News, I'm Tyler Pratt. KCBX recently interviewed a young musician who is making new sounds on a very old instrument. Ella Jenkins grew up in Fraser Park on the southeast side of the Los Padres Forest and now lives and works in Half Moon Bay. But this week, she's on the Central Coast playing gigs in Ojai and San Luis Obispo as part of a tour to celebrate the release of her first CD. Her stage name incorporates her chosen instrument, Ella, harp. She stopped by the KCBX studio to talk with Greta Mart about her background, her many artistic outlets, and why she buys almost all of her harps in San Luis Obispo.
I'm Ella Harp, and I'm a singer-songwriter. I play the harp. I do sort of bluesy, folky, slightly different from the atypical harp status kind of music, and having a good time doing it.
Okay, and how long have you been recording?
I've been doing my own music sort of professionally for the last 2 years, but I've been playing harp since I was 8.
I first heard about you as Bruce Jenkins' daughter. As a reporter, you know, of course, I know Bruce Jenkins. And tell me about who your dad is.
So my dad's a sports writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, so he covers all kinds of different fabulous sportly things that I unfortunately never was really able to get quite enough of a grasp on to be able to add anything helpful. But he's always involved in the sports stuff.
Okay. And were you sporty when you were growing up, or are you more musician-y?
Yeah, I was much more geeky music. I swim, I body surf, and he body surfs. The ocean is pretty much the only sport thing that I can do anything in.
Okay, got it. And tell me about who your grandfather is. His father, correct?
Correct, yeah. So my grandfather, Gordon Jenkins, he was a conductor, composer, arranger, and he worked with Frank Sinatra and Nat King Cole, Judy Garland, Harry Nilsson, a bunch of other real greats back in that time frame, and did a bunch of really cool compositions and arrangements for various people back then.
Okay, so did he live in L.A.?
He lived in Malibu, yeah, on Broad Beach. I was actually born in my grandpa's house.
Oh, okay. All right. I was going to say, did you know him?
I didn't know him. He died years before I was born, unfortunately. But
okay, so you were born in his house, but he had died already.
He had died already, yeah.
Okay, I see. And did your grandma live beyond?
She did, yeah. She was still alive then, although she had mostly been overcome by Alzheimer's by the time I was born. But she'd bebop around the house going, doot-dat, 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 doot.
Okay.
That was the only thing I ever heard my grandma say. But I mean, she was happy at least.
Did you ever do any research into your grandpa? And once you kind of came of age and you realized musically, mm-hmm. like what he did you, how do you familiarize yourself with your grandpa's work?
So my dad talked about it a lot as a kid, and then I would get little recordings of his music and such. But the greatest resources, I'm trying to remember how many years ago now, probably a decade or so now ago, but my dad wrote a book about my grandpa, which has just fabulous information all within it. So I read that, and it's an amazing resource. It's called Goodbye, In Search of Gordon Jenkins.
What was the turning point that you knew that you were going to do this professionally?
I knew music was going to be basically my life since I started playing when I was 8. I do a bunch of other artistic things, but music was sort of the core for that. I went to college in Scotland and studied traditional Scottish music at a music academy over there for 4 years. So it was definitely something that I knew I was going to pursue. Although my own side of it, the songwriting aspect and the sort of, you know, changing genres was a more recent thing.
So tell me about that experience. How did you decide to go do that?
So originally I wasn't looking in Ireland, but they didn't have an undergraduate that I was able to find during that time frame. And the college in Scotland had an undergraduate in traditional Scottish music, and it seemed like the thing to do. And I just sort of poured my whole self into getting over there. And then once I got there, it was like, oh, wow, I'm going to need to live here and do this for 4 years. And that was kind of a bit of a culture shock. But it was a really amazing educational experience, and it's so beautiful over there.
Okay, terrific. And then you came back here. What you been doing since then?
So I moved back in 2011, I guess, and I actually built a tiny house on a trailer, which is a bit random. But with music, you don't tend to make the big bucks, especially if your degree is in traditional Scottish music in the Scottish Gaelic language, which mine was. So I built a really small house that was affordable and I could travel with. So I drove that up north and then sort of parked myself up there and just started doing, you know, artsy, musicy stuff, and have been pretty much plugging away at that since.
Still live in the tiny house?
I don't live in it anymore. We moved out in October, and I live on an actual house that's on the ground that has no wheels. It's very bizarre and wonderful.
And why? What precipitated that move?
Just sort of, you know, the tiny house was a really wonderful solution for quite a while. That for a number of years, I actually worked for the tiny house company, and I traveled around the country and taught two-day workshops on how to build tiny houses. So that sort of was most of what I focused on in music and art were sort of like background. And then I left the company in 2015, and sort of at the end of that year, it was sort of like I was going to have to be fully self-employed at this point. So I bought all these sewing machines and tons of fabric. I make all kinds of things and jewelry stuff. And then, you know, there's harps. I'm teaching harp lessons. And suddenly we're making harps and harps hanging from the ceiling. It just became a little bit manic in there. So it was really grand timing.
Tell me about making your own clothes. How did you get on that trip?
Well, I'm really tall. And for some reason, they don't think that tall people have long arms. You would think that they would, but every tall person clothing I'd find would be really wide. And I'm not super wide. I just have really, really long limbs. So I have an awkward shape to me. So it just sort of made more sense to start coming up with my own design. And I made clothes that looked real bad for a while. And people would be like, oh, I made it. They're like, yeah. Like, yeah, I know. So the goal was to just get to the point where people would be surprised that you made your clothes, even if they were really plain. It was just like people wouldn't be like, oh, yeah, she made that.
Right. Are you wearing some of your designs right now?
I am, yeah. This is a shirt that I made, and I make my under things. I don't make my socks, and I just cut these shorts, but took them in.
Okay,
I pretty much have something to do with all my clothes.
Okay, cool. And what about your boots? Do you make your own boots?
Ah, you found my one weakness. I've always wanted to make boots, but there's a lot of steps there. And what I try to, I have way too many artistic outlets and things I like to try to do. It's really annoying sometimes because it's hard to stay focused. And at one point I was like, I'm going to start making shoes. And I was talking to my boyfriend. I was like, I'm going to start making shoes. I'm going to get all this stuff. I'm going to do it. And he was like, how much time and money do you think it would take you to be able to make shoes that are as good as the ones that you're wearing right now? And I was like, that's a great point. Clothing's a lot harder for me to find. Shoes are a lot easier, so I don't make my own shoes. But I have made socks before.
Okay. All right. Oh, good enough. That's good. And your jewelry. Tell me about the jewelry. How did you get started on that?
Just sort of the same thing, wanting something that I couldn't really find, and sort of liking the idea of wearing things that I had something to do with. So just started making real ugly things until eventually it started to look better.
Sweet. Okay, great. And so what's your focus now? I know you're doing you're kind of on tour right now, mm-hmm. and that's your focus. Are you on tour to promote the CD that just came out? What's the story there?
So the CD came out in February, and since then I've just been bouncing around. I've got a really small, very convenient harp these days that I'm able to travel with on airplanes. So I went to Hawaii earlier this year, and I went to see my sister in Missouri. She moved out there last year, and I was able to go to Portland and Seattle last month. So traveling is definitely something that I'm excited to be able to do now, because that's not usually something that you can do with an instrument as large as the harp.
Right, exactly. And so the harp that you on the album, is that a regular size harp?
Yeah, the harp on the album is a harp I've had since I was 12, actually, and it's made just down the road by Triplet Harps here in San Luis.
Let's look at your harp. May I look at it?
You brought absolutely.
It in this case. Now, where'd you get your case?
Triplet made the case.
Okay, so Triplet, I never even heard of that. Tell me about this company that's in San Luis Obispo.
They are absolutely the best. They are the best wooden harp makers that I've ever found, personally, and they were the only harps I've ever owned of the wooden variety. Although, as I started to do more traveling and needing to be more places that weren't really accessible by car, I started trying to figure out a harp that was more portable, which I wasn't really able to find in terms of what I was looking for. So I actually designed this harp and my boyfriend built it. So this one is a kind of a special niche harp for airplane travel and exactly what I need it for.
Okay, great. So describe it here. What is it? It looks metal, but is it wood?
It is actually. This one is aluminum.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Typically they are wood, but this one is actually made out of aluminum because my boyfriend's a metal fabricator, so you take advantage of the things you have accessible to you.
Right.
So yeah, I'm not sure how many harps have been made out of aluminum necessarily, but this one is ours, and yeah, it's probably, I think it's maybe 9, maybe 8. I'm not quite sure how heavy it is, but it's I designed it so that it would fit in the overhead bin of an airplane so that it could be travelable. It's got a pickup, and it's got the same number of strings on it as the harp that I played all the time. So it's a pretty cool thing. I'm really loving this one right now.
Okay, great. Can you just strum it for us a little bit? I want to hear the sound of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, let's find out how in tune this is. Oh, not that bad.
That's pretty.
It's been sitting in a hot car all day.
Okay.
Good sport, harp.
And what's along the side here? What are the black things?
The black things inside there, those...
Oh, it's inside. I see.
Yeah, those are the... that's a pickup so that you can plug it in just like a guitar and go to town.
Oh, it's an electric harp.
Electroacoustic, yep.
Wow, cool.
Makes it handy when you're doing the big... I played a couple just a while back in San Diego in this big place called Music Box, and there were like 500 people there, and the room was huge.
I saw that. Did you? And you opened up for whom?
Her name's Maya.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, terrific. Okay. Well, let's talk more about the harp now. Okay, so the company, I didn't even know. Tell me more about, so they make big size harps.
They make small size harps all the way up to like pretty big. So they make Celtic style harps, which is what this one is as well, where you have levers that raise it by half step or lower it by half step. So you can, it's not fully chromatic on the bigger harps that you see in orchestras and such. They have pedals so that you can make it from natural to sharp or flat. So you can sort of do everything chromatically. On these kinds of harps, you can just raise it by a half step. But they're the more traditional, older style. So Triplett makes all sizes of Celtic harps, of lever harps.
Okay, got it. All right, great. I wonder, I'll have to talk to them.
Oh, they're
lovely. Bring them in. How interesting.
Steve and Debbie, they're the greatest. They're just right down on Suburban Road, and they make them right there. It's amazing. The factory smells so good. You'll just, it's like fresh wood. It's amazing.
Oh, okay. Nice. All right. And okay, so now, so you're performing on this one. Mm-hmm. And so what's next for you? What are you doing? What do you foresee in the next couple of years?
Next couple of years is just kind of push this just as hard as I can. I'm coming up on 50 live performances of my own original music since February 1st that I've booked this year. So just kind of keeping it on that same trajectory of just playing as much around as I can and hopefully getting slightly better organized. I think maybe 50 at this point was a bit much for me trying to get everything, you know, super well organized and dialed in. But hopefully next year I'll have perhaps fewer gigs but better organized gigs.
Okay, got it. All right. And so now, we're going to play a sample for our listeners of your music off of your CD. Tell me what it's called and what song would you like me to play that you feel is most representative of your style and music?
Let's see. It's called Who Asked You Back is the name of the album. So maybe just go with the title track. It's the first one on there. It's one of the first songs I ever wrote when I still lived in Scotland over there. So it's kind of the one that started the whole, you know, bridging the genre gap thing that I've been doing.
Okay, great. All right. And so you're just going to keep doing music and now you have a house. So you're settled. You're like, you're in Half Moon Bay.
Yeah, right? I'm super duper lucky and really ready to just continue on with music as far as it will take me. I think there's a lot more that the instrument can do than I think people really tend to recognize. So when you tend to say that you play the harp, people expect this particular kind of a sound. And when you're doing something that's out with that, you know, it sort of takes people off guard. So I want to try and keep doing that as much as I can and try and get the harp more to, you know, more kind of gain awareness of it, because it's a very versatile instrument. It's really fabulous for songwriting. I think most of the time people tend to do, you know, sort of instrumental stuff or more classical or Celtic kind of things, but it can be, you know, just as versatile as guitar or piano for any of those kinds of things for, you know, songwriting in pretty much any genre. So it's one of those instruments that's really undervalued for that.
When I think of the harp, I think of weddings, or I think of really,
for sure.
You know, just I don't think of like punk rock, but I'm sure that I've seen, you know, like electric violins.
Right.
I mean, they're totally, people are doing new things with the old instruments in new
for
ways.
Sure.
And so do you have other like harpists that you hang out with, or you feel like you're kind of out there alone doing something, just kind of forging a new path?
I mean, I know other harpists that are fabulous in their own, you know, we all sort of have our own sort of niches, I'd say, which I think is great. I don't really know anybody that's doing specifically this exactly along the same lines as I am, but I definitely know some other harpists that are really, you know, taking what they're passionate about and bringing it to the forefront. So I think that's important, you know, whatever it is that's important to somebody. I think it's cool to just, you know, changing the perception about the instrument in whatever way you can, in whatever, you know, particular direction your interest lies, I think is always a beneficial thing.